How's it going, everybody? Welcome to That Time of the Week. I am your host, Matthew Morgan, and today we are going to be talking about, a little bit of everything. So now, I guess we can just start pick up where we left off in the last hour there. We started, we left off by talking about the gubernatorial election. Now, I do think that there will be people, to clarify, I guess, I do think that there will be people who won't vote for Vivek because he's of his race and of his religion. But I also think there will be people who won't vote for Amy. I don't know to what extent of either of these, or any of these voting groups, I guess I should say, but I do think there will be people who won't vote for her because she's a woman. Adam called in, you know, obviously there's still some hangover from COVID, even though DeWine has pretty much said that anything that happened during COVID happened, under my order, not hers. So, I don't know. I just think, by the way, phone lines are open if you have anything you would like to add to this conversation. It was kind of busy, the last hour as far as conversation went, but, we are here. And the phone lines are open as per usual. 740-383-9944. But yes, so I don't know to what, I mean, I think this election is going to be interesting, I guess. I do think to some extent it'll tell us, where the, I don't know, I don't know, the voting groups or voter blocks, I don't know. I think it'll be interesting. It'll be similar to, I guess, when DeWine ran, I suppose. But nonetheless, that'll be nice. I'm excited for the election. There's a lot of primaries going on, especially for the Republican ticket. There are some for the Democratic ticket too. I don't believe there are any uncontested seats, so that's good. I like the competition. Now, I do think that, I don't know. I mean, I think that the, as far as the whole, court thing goes, or the police record, there we go, for Amy Acton goes with the whole, domestic situation in which the police were called, I don't know that I believe the story of the at the very least the husband. I mean his story basically was all my fault. I didn't, you know, I had too much drink. I started the argument, that kind of thing, and she was trying to be peacekeeper. But I also don't know that I believe it is. While it is more believable, I think. I don't even know if I believe the campaign's response. I don't know. The police report, all the information they got from somebody, I don't know, somebody. I would like to read the police report, personally, but, I don't think that's, I'd have to, like, do a public records request in that. I don't know about all that. Sounds like a lot of work for something that I guess I know most about. I mean, I figure if there was anything more important on there, they would probably share it. And besides, I don't think you get any better information than from the parties involved. I just don't trust. See, because the husband, I don't know. I don't know that Amy Acton would share the truthful story at this point. I mean, she hasn't come out and said anything yet. And even the campaign story and the husband story aren't even, like, one for one, I don't think. So, I don't know. I don't think that, it has much of an effect, honestly. I mean, I think that the people who like Amy Acton and who are gonna vote for her are probably just gonna be like, yeah, well, doesn't change my opinion of her. the people who don't like her will probably just, I don't know, use it to say that she's, like, unhinged or something. So I don't know. But nonetheless, I do think that, she should come out and say something about that. I don't think that having, I mean, having the campaign manager, I guess, was fine because it's like a campaign statement. But I would have, it would be nice to hear from her herself. I mean, you know, she has the answers. She would have to. I mean, she was there. So, nonetheless, there's that. But, like I said, I don't think it's going to have any real effect, probably, on the election. Maybe some independents. But I think that for the majority, it's probably a big nothing burger. So, there's that. Now, earlier this morning, we were talking about how Trump was having problems with the Pope, and about how the Pope and him were having little like spats. Now, I guess that the Pope hasn't really, I don't know. Donald Trump, see, he mentioned that I say I don't know a lot last hour, and now I think about it too much. Anyways, I don't think that the Pope and Donald Trump have ever really been like, I mean, Donald Trump's been sending shots at the Pope, and then the Pope's just like, I don't know, talking about using scripture and whatnot, I guess, I don't know. I have a quote here, and there's Donald Trump had, I think this is after the post where Donald Trump was portraying Jesus and had his, like, hand on somebody's forehead, and I don't know, performing a miracle, I suppose. And this is, Pope Leo. The world is being ravaged by a handful of tyrants, yet it is held together by a multitude of supported brothers and sisters. Woe to those who manipulate religion in the very name of God for their own military, economic, and political gain, dragging that which is sacred into darkness and filth. Leo said during his four-country tour of Africa. Oh, that was... Yeah, Leo said during his four-country tour of Africa. And then, back to the quote. It is a world turned upside down and exploitation of God's creation that must be denounced and rejected by every honest conscience. And I don't know where the full speech is. That's only a part of the speech, but that's, like, the majority of the speech that has been reported. I would like to see the full speech, honestly. I'm gonna get the whole thing. But, I don't know that he did. I know he did, however, say that he was not scared of the Trump administration, or, you know, because he felt that he was called to, like, spread the word of God, or, you know, whatever the Pope says, that kind of thing. So there's that, I guess. But I don't know. I think that the Pope's got better things to do than engage. I mean, anti-war is very, yes, I mean, the Pope is very anti-war. I don't, things like that. But I don't think that the Pope should be. Even though he's not directly calling out Donald Trump and the Trump administration, I guess, it would seem to me that he is kind of like, it's still like responding to every time Donald Trump makes a statement. I guess he's asked about it, but, I don't think he should respond. It just seems like an underhand, like a, I don't want to say underhanded response. It's just like an indirect response. He just indirectly responds and indirectly talks about the problems, even though, I mean, he just says it without saying it, I guess. So I don't know. I don't think that the Pope should be having the spats with Trump. Though I do agree with what the Pope says. I mean, the Pope, I mean, I guess I agree with what the Pope says as far as, just about everything he said to the Trump administration. But, I don't think he should be saying it, really. I feel like I should have added this. There was a quote here from the... Mollily? Yeah, I think it's Mollily. Anyways, the Archbishop or archbishop, I don't know, to lead the Church of England. She's the first woman archbishop to lead the Church of England. But yes, she said, I stand with my brother in Christ, His Holiness Pope, Pope Leo, I guess. She just says Pope, what is it, XIV, so that's going to be, 14? His Holiness Pope 14 in his courageous call for a kingdom of peace. By the way, when asked about the Trump administration, he did say something along the lines of, blessed are the peacemakers, or something like that. So he's been going around spreading the gospel, I guess, and trying to play peacemaker, because, blessed are the peacemakers. But I don't know. I don't think that the Pope's job is to play peacemaker. I think the Pope's job is to interpret things, and then other people are to play peacemaker. But I'm not a Catholic, and I'm certainly not the Pope. So, I guess the Catholics would know better with what the Pope should do. After, by the way, Trump had posted a picture of him as Jesus, he had posted a picture of him with Jesus. It looks like Jesus was, like, whispering into his ear or something, I don't know. Hand on his shoulder. But I don't think that, Trump knows exactly what he's doing. Trump's picking, the religious people in the United States are a very big block of people. I don't know that you should go upsetting one of the biggest blocks of people in the U.S., picking fights with the Pope, you'll certainly do that. Portraying yourself as Jesus, you'll certainly do that. Picturing yourself, I guess, being talked to with Jesus, I'm sure people are upset with that, though. I don't know. I'm sure somebody's okay with that. It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I don't know why Trump would go picking fights with the Catholics, or the religious people in general, but there's that. And maybe it's just because I don't quite understand the difference between the denominations of evangelicals and Catholics. Apparently there is a much bigger difference than I rationalize there. I don't know exactly what evangelicals do, but yeah, apparently there's a big thing there. I figured that it was all, I understood that, yes, the Catholics are the papacy, and they have a bigger Bible, and, have more books in, Deuteronomy, anyways, nonetheless, they have more books in their Bible and things like that. They're not the same, but, I figured they both were on, Bible-oriented to some extent. I mean, the Bible is the basis of your religion. So, I figured they were both, Bible-centric to some extent. So they couldn't be all that different as far as, this kind of thing goes. But apparently, the evangelicals can just get behind this. Which doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, but nonetheless, it's interesting, I guess. I don't know. I've been interested. I'm going to go to a Catholic Mass at some point. I just haven't gotten around to it. I don't want to go by myself. I don't know anything about Catholic Mass. Never been to a Catholic church. Don't know any Catholics. I would go. I'm getting a phone call. I would go to see what's up with that, but apparently it's just difficult to find somebody to go with. But yeah, I think that the Pope is an interesting kind of a fellow, and that to wrap up the whole Trump and the Pope argument there, I think that the Pope is an interesting fellow, and Donald Trump shouldn't be picking fights with the Pope. I think the Pope holds a lot of sway, and, he's the Pope. Come on. why are you going to pick fights with the Pope? Pope's never done anything to anybody. At least this Pope. I'm sure popes are, Catholic Church has its history. Also, speaking of, well, this has nothing to do with that, so I don't know why I said speaking of, but the Senate approved a short-term renewal of Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, or Surveillance Act. Oh, by the way, it's a 10-day renewal, I do believe, 10 days, of Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence Act, which permits the CIA, National Security Agency, and FBI, and other agencies to collect and analyze vast amounts of overseas communications without a warrant. By the way, I guess they had to extend it because they're working on a revision of it, which I think is good. I think less surveillance is a good thing. I don't know why the government feels the need to surveil everybody, but they got that. Nonetheless, they have approved a 10-day expansion of that, and they did have a bill go through, but it fell in the, I do believe the House. It was revised. They had made a couple changes. It would extend the program for 5 years and revise a few things, such as ensuring that only FBI attorneys could authorize queries on U.S. people, and to require the Office of the Director of National Intelligence to review such cases. That'd be Representative Austin Scott, a Republican out of Georgia. So, that's good, I think, I guess. But, I mean, the FBI, I mean, I don't know. It seems like one of those things where, like, yeah, I'm going to go back to the Patriot Act here. They use, like, you can get, in cases of emergency, you can get warrants to where you're allowed to act before investigation, basically. I don't remember what they're called. But they use those a lot. And it goes along with the Patriot Act and things. I don't know. Anyways. There's that. This is, I guess, for foreign information gathering on U.S. peoples. It apparently would also It would also enhance criminal penalties on those who would unlawfully conduct such inquiries or disclose the surveillance information. It provides a way for members of Congress and certain staff to access the proceedings of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, which handles such requests. So, I think that reworking and making it more difficult to access surveillance things is generally good. I don't know. I mean, people tend to use the whole, if you're not doing anything wrong, why does it matter? That whole thing. I don't tend to get behind that. I think that, you know, you could extend that to the ends of the earth. I mean, if it doesn't matter, because if you're not doing anything wrong, then why don't we just let the police search our houses every day? You know, I mean, if you're not doing anything wrong, what's it matter? Why not just do random pullovers and let them search your car? If you're not doing anything wrong, what's it matter? I just don't think that that's exactly a great way to go about things, but we do what we do. So there's that. But nonetheless, the bill is being revised. I don't know. I do believe, hopefully, that it's not strong enough. I mean, maybe that's the problem. I do know that they had to, they wanted to renew it for, obviously, security reasons. I got a message there from my mother. But, anyways. I'm glad that the Senate has decided, the Senate approved the expansion. I'm pretty sure it fell in the House. I could be wrong on that, but I'm pretty sure it got shot down in the House. I don't know why they shot it down. I don't recall. I did read the article, but I want to say that it was because it wasn't strong enough. Because I do remember them saying that, or somebody being quoted saying that there's a lot of bipartisan support for the bill. So I figured if there's a lot of bipartisan support for the bill, it would have passed. So I would assume that there's a lot of bipartisan support for a stronger bill, I guess. But I'm interested to see where that goes. Government surveillance is a big thing I'm opposed to. So yeah. Also, as of I do believe today, this morning, Donald Trump has posted that the Strait of Hormuz is now open. As well as Iran has also said that the Strait of Hormuz is now open. And in two different Truth Social posts, Donald Trump has said, Iran has just announced, by the way, it's in all caps. I don't know if it's just the place I got it from that had it in all caps for some reason, or if he posted it in all caps, but it's in all caps. So I feel like I should make a point of that. Iran has just announced that the Strait of Iran is fully open. I'm sure I misspelled that. I don't know, that's confusing. But that's how I have it written, so I don't know. Iran has just announced that the Strait of Hormuz, I would assume that's supposed to say at the very least, is fully open and ready for full passage. Thank you. And then, and like I said, in a different Truth Social post, he followed up with, the Strait of Hormuz is completely open and ready for business, but the naval blockade will remain in full force and effect as it pertains to Iran, only until such time as our transaction with Iran is 100% complete. This process should go very quickly in that most of the points are already negotiated. Thank you for your attention to this matter, President Donald J. Trump. So, apparently the Strait of Hormuz has been opened back up. Oil's going to go through there. That's good. Now, apparently traffic has been slow to go through there, which makes sense. I mean, Iran has mined the water. Apparently the U.S. is currently doing demining of the Strait of Hormuz. So I don't know how long that whole thing's going to take, but it always takes longer to pick them up than put them down. So, you know, they drift and move and things like that. So that's no good. But nonetheless, the Strait of Hormuz is open, so hopefully, well, if with any luck, gas prices should go down. I do know the Dow with oil, it has gone up. I don't remember how many points. I don't really pay attention to the stock market. After this, the stock market has done rather well. Sorry, my phone's going crazy. I'm trying to read the things here. But, I think that the Strait of Hormuz being opened up is good. I think that world trade is generally a good thing. I don't know why we wouldn't want to do trading with the world. They have things we don't and vice versa a lot of the times. Or things that are out of season aren't out of season elsewhere and things like that. So that's good. I wish they wouldn't have put mines down, but that'd be for Iran, but I guess I, you know, can't blame Iran for trying to protect national interest, I suppose. I don't know. I mean, I guess, I don't know. I don't know why the U.S. is over there doing the demining, but I guess it makes sense at the same time, you know, we kind of cause the whole problem as to why there's mines over there to begin with. But, I just, like I said, I would have rather just didn't put mines in the water. But, nonetheless, there's that. Also, this is about Casey Puch, but in an interview he did with Morgan Trow, I want to say Trow, Puch claimed that he wasn't being racist or threatening when he was talking about the whole, hey, Vivek, want to play, Cowboys and Indians. I forgot. I was thinking Westerners, but I knew that wasn't right. Want to play Cowboys and Indians, and then he shot three times with his gun. And he said, don't worry, it's feathers, not dots. I mean, and then, you know, during the interview, he did say that, he was supporting the second, the quote is, I am also supporting the Second Amendment and exercising my First Amendment right to make a joke that lots of people think is actually funny. So he says that it's a joke, and also that he says that people are being sensitive and a lot of the things that he posts on social media shouldn't be taken seriously. All I know is that, I mean, it was a direct reference to race. I mean, even the Cowboys and Indians thing, I mean, I probably would have been a little more, I wouldn't have been on his side either way, I guess, but I would have been less opposed to him saying it, I guess. I think it would have just been still poor taste for him to say the whole Cowboys and Indians thing. But then he had to go and throw in the whole, but don't worry, it's feathers, not dots. And that's, you know, I don't exactly think that's great. That is, even there put a distinction between, like, the, you know, the Native Americans and, like, the, I don't know, Indian people, indigenous Indian peoples. And apparently, I don't follow him on any of the socials, but apparently, he has, a lot of posts on his, social medias talking about deporting all of the people like Ramaswamy. And then, apparently, I don't know, I gotta watch this full interview, but he said, how would that be racist? Because there are people who should be deported to all different places of the globe. And just because we might joke about deporting Vivek, how does that have anything to do with a race other than the fact that he's questionably American? And that's a funny joke, too, Putsch said. Morgan Trow responded with, how is he questionably American? He was born in Cincinnati. And Putsch responded with, yeah, he was born to Indian foreign nationals who came here just to have an anchor baby. All I know is that, I don't know. He's got to be either playing some kind of, like, mental gymnastics here or something, like, how would it be racist to say that we should deport all the people like Vivek Ramaswamy and to say that he's questionably American because his parents are immigrants from, foreign nationals from India? We're not deporting, the Supreme Court basically passed a thing saying that we could discriminate based on color and things, and ICE agents could, you know, like, ask for, I don't know, proof of citizenship and whatnot. So, it's a whole, I don't know. I think he's gotta be understanding of what he's doing. I mean, I don't think he's a dumb person. I mean, I think you'd have to be pretty dumb to believe as far as what, to believe that. I mean, especially with, I mean, he made direct references to, like, India and Hinduism and like that's the dot. Hinduism and India. So I don't think he exactly makes a whole lot of sense. I mean, maybe to him it's not, but it would certainly seem to be racist. It was like a fundraiser rally thing at some restaurant in Columbus, and they canceled on him because of his pro-Nazi remarks. And also he held a beer hall rally, and I guess where, and I don't know if it was at the beer hall rally, but he talked about his German heritage and said he'll buy anybody a beer who shows up in a good German car. And yeah. And the thing that he also said that at one point in time that I want to find the quote real fast, but it was something like, alright, I'm not going to find the quote. I'd have to search forever and it's not worth it. But paraphrasing here, it was something like, Hitler had some good ideas and did some okay things. Now, again, I'm paraphrasing there, but apparently he's made remarks about that in the past. I don't understand people. I mean, if you're going to run for office, I don't know how you can be, it just doesn't make any sense. It's kind of a popularity contest to some extent. You need people to vote for you, and you can't, I don't understand what Casey Butch is playing at, but I don't think he's doing himself any favors in winning votes or support. I mean, he's had rallies canceled now. I mean, I guess he's got himself in the news. I guess people who didn't know him before know him now. But I don't know. It just seems like it's not a good move. It's not what I would recommend by any stretch of the imagination. And, I guess we'll see what happens with that. But I think that, come primary night, you know, May 5th, if you're gonna vote on primary, May 5th is coming up soon. I do believe early voting's already open. I don't early vote. I like to go to the polls, but if you like to early vote, I do believe it's already open. I could be wrong there, but, exciting. Now, if you have anything you would like to say, do feel free to call in 740-383-9944. That is 740-383-9944. We have about 9 minutes left in the show. So, like I said, you don't have to talk about politics, by the way. If you have anything at all you would like to talk about, 740-383-9944. But no, I think the primaries are going to be interesting, like I said. I mean, I think that Casey Putsch is probably going to lose. I mean, I don't see really any chance that he wins. I think that... I'm interested to see how the primary turns out and how many votes Vivek does lose during primary. And I do think that, unfortunately, I think... based on just the things I know about Casey Putsch, a lot of the people who voted for him are not going to vote for Vivek. So I would like to see if Putsch wins counties or, you know, things like that. I just want to see generally how well Putsch does in Ohio. And I hope it's not well. I don't think he's going to win, but I'm aiming for, like, 3% tops, you know, that's small number. But I guess we shall see. There's also the 86th district race where there is Tracy Richardson is the incumbent currently. She has endorsed Ben Weber, and Ben Weber is the candidate currently running against Weslyn Davis, there you go, and Stephen Wolf. And I do think smart money's on Ben Weber there. I think that, as far as that goes, he's got the endorsement of Tracy Richardson. Apparently, he's got a lot of money. He's got a lot of signs. I've seen the signs, you know, all over the place. He's got the endorsement of Jack Kellogg. I think that does... I mean, Jack Kellogg got the Lifetime Achievement Award. I think Jack Kellogg still carries some sway within the party. So that's good for him. But no, nonetheless, I'm interested. So, yeah. I'm looking at the ballots as of currently. Apparently there is a primary for a senator. Ron Kincaid is running against Sherrod Brown. Was unaware of that. Now, this is obviously just primaries, but... yeah. Anyways, I was curious. Went to the wrong one anyways. Yeah, there is a couple libertarians running for office, if anybody's interested in that. Don Kissick is running for office, and he is running for the governor, and his lieutenant governor choice is going to be James L. Mills. Don't know who either of those people are. I do believe Don Kissick ran for senator last time around, though. They do not have anybody running for auditor of state. They have for Secretary of State, Tom Pruss. They do have senators running. They have two people running for senator, actually. Jeffrey M. Cantor and William B. Redpath. And then the levies. So, apparently the Libertarians got some primaries going on there. Now, I haven't heard anything about the Libertarians. I mean, the Libertarians obviously don't get a lot of news coverage. They're not a... I think that... I'm going to go on a bit of a spiel here about the third parties for a second. I think that the Libertarians, well, third parties in general, don't get enough, chance to spread their policy, I guess. They don't get invited... I mean, the Libertarians, I do believe, are considered a major party in the U.S. I think there are three major parties. I mean, you know, two. There's really only two major parties, I guess, because they're the two who always win, and, you know, it's throwing away your vote to vote the other way. But they're the third major party, I'm pretty sure, even though they don't do anything. So, I mean, they meet the threshold, and I'm pretty sure the threshold is like 1%. So, I mean, I think that they should be allowed to go to the debates, and I think that they should be allowed to go to, you know, just the general, I mean, I think they should just be allowed to do all the things. So, there's that. But, nonetheless, I think that, the Libertarians should do a better job of getting, out and out, talking to people. So, there's that. If you have anything you'd like to say, this is probably going to be the last chance. There are a whopping 2.5 minutes left in this year's show. But, I think it's been pretty good up to this point. We've talked about a lot of things. It's mainly been a lot of quotes tonight. You know, a lot of quote-heavy things. But we've talked about a lot. We talked about Trump arguing with the Pope, and the Pope arguing back. Kind of. We talked about Amy Acton and the whole domestic situation in which the police got involved. I want to know if they yelled at the kid after the fact for calling the cops. That would be interesting to find out. I do think it's interesting that DeWine had said that he was upset that, I forgot to mention this, that DeWine said he was upset that he was not told, because this would have been when she was in, the Ohio Health Director, or whatever the job title was, when she was in DeWine's administration. And, so he was upset that he did not know about this. So, I think that is interesting. But nonetheless, I mean, he didn't apparently seem to care all that much. I mean, he's still defending her on COVID. So there's that. I do think, by the way, it's interesting that DeWine's defending her on COVID. We talked about, you know, Iran, the Strait of Hormuz being open, the U.S. demining the waters. Woe to those who manipulate religion in the very name of, I lost it. Woe to those who manipulate religion in the very name of God for their own military, economic, and political gain, dragging that which is sacred into the darkness and filth. That'd be Pope Leo the, I do believe, 14th. But, so we talked about that whole spiel he gave, and I want to listen to that whole spiel. I assume it'll come about at some point in time. The Catholic Church usually does a pretty good job of keeping transcripts and things of all the speeches and whatnot. So good on them. I like the Catholics for that reason. They're good record keepers. Well, I like the Catholics for a lot of reasons, I guess. Catholics are pretty cool. Neat kind of a thing they got going on. Well, I don't know. It's interesting. As always interesting. We talked about Casey Puch and how and what I perceive to be his downfall in politics. But the primary is around the corner, and I guess time will tell as far as that goes. But with that being said, we have about 25 seconds left here, so I would like to go ahead and run down the promo real fast. If you are listening now, you can listen, obviously, however you are listening now. You can listen at www.wwgh1071.com. You can listen on the free TuneIn app. You can listen the smart devices all over the place, anywhere and everywhere. Thank you for listening tonight. Hope you have a wonderful night, and goodbye.
The place for guests, like Dean of the White House Press Corps,